What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. The Packers off and scattered throughout the world during their off season, but you and I, Packers fans worldwide, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, no matter what's going on with the green and gold. It's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Hope you're all having a great day. A better day than the Brewers, anyway, who just dropped another one to the Diamondbacks. The Packers will be back in town in Green Bay late July. In the meantime, we'll be here chatting each and every day. Hope you're all doing well. Want to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King before we get going here. That's right. Utilize Ticket King if you want to watch the Green Bay Packers play football in 2023, people. Head to cheeseheadtv.com. Use our schedule. We have individualized links for each and every game. You can buy the tickets there through our app or just head to Ticket King itself. It's right across from Lambeau Field. They've been in Wisconsin since the early 90s. You want to utilize Ticket King when buying your Packers tickets, not Ticketmaster, not StubHub or SeatGeek. Use a Wisconsin-based company, people. Ticket King. Get there through Cheesehead TV, or there's a link in the description of this video. Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, two guys with something to prove in 2023. I think it's pretty obvious. Both of them have a lot to prove when it comes to the judgmental world that we live in, but certainly the narratives and the media and the scrutiny and the fan bases and everything from the outside of the building looking in will be parsing every moment, every play, every win, every loss, every week, every media availability. Clearly with Matt, it's all about, can he turn this team around without Aaron Rodgers? There's so much already kind of being, outside of the Packers' sphere, right, nationally and things of that nature. I think that he has his fans, but I think there's way more doubters than there are people who believe that he is the guy, right? And now he gets to prove it, and I absolutely love that. Obviously rooting for him big time. So we make no bones or secrets about that here at Cheesehead TV. And with Jordan, it's so weird to see like the parallel of the new young quarterback taking over for a future Hall of Famer. It's not something most fan bases are used to in general. Packers fans have now, you know, about to go through it a second time. And I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago here on Packers Daily. This transition already feels so much smoother and better and healthier than the turn from Favre to Rodgers did. And I know that probably feels a little weird for maybe some of you younger viewers and listeners to hear after the drama of the last couple months and or years, but this comparatively, this has been a breeze, which I think is great and should only help Jordan settle in, becoming the guy. And you know, there will be ups and downs, as we've talked a lot about here on Packers Daily, but there's certainly going to be lots and lots of doubters, both nationally, but also locally. I mean, I don't think you don't have to go very far on the internet or wherever Packers fans might be to find a Packers fan or two who aren't sold on Jordan Love and don't think he is the guy and don't think he's going to be a long-term answer at the position, which is understandable. I'm not sitting here telling people that that's a completely ridiculous stance to take, you know. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a lot to prove. And I, for one, am so excited to watch both Matt and Jordan prove it, because that's what a big part of this season is going to be about. I, for one, am looking forward to it. Also looking forward to chatting it up with all you fine folks in the comments section. Dennis is here, of course. What's up, Dennis? John, Aaron Harper, how are you, man? New York Cheesehead, Mets aren't much better. Yeah, what's crazy is that the Brewers and the Mets, you know, up and down seasons both for both clubs, but hey, we didn't, you know, break the bank the way the Mets did. I think the Brewers have like the lowest payroll and the Mets have the highest. So, hey, different ways of getting to the same spot. Vex, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. No judgment, but how many years does Matt LaFleur have to be successful? What is successful? What about Goot? That's a good question. I think it's a fair question. I've talked a little bit about that in the past, but I do think he's got about a two-year window here to show that he's the guy, right? He's got a five-year extension, the first year of which was last season where he missed the playoffs for the first time. I think the playoffs are obviously the goal this season. I think it's going to be tough with a new starting quarterback, a very young offense, but, you know, crazier shit has happened in the NFL. But you know, you missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. You enter in your third year without Aaron Rodgers, and then if you're still not winning, if you're not winning the division, you're not making the playoffs, then I think, obviously, the heat gets turned up. But, you know, there's so many factors at play. You know, how are they playing? How do they look late in the season compared to early in the season? Are the guys trending up? Are the players being developed? Are they playing better? Are they working better as a unit as the year goes on? I think everyone will point to, yeah, you got to make the playoffs. Clearly, obviously, you know, that is the goal. But I think there's a lot more to it than that. And just because you make the playoffs, I mean, you can back into the playoffs. You know, you can look like a team that doesn't belong in the playoffs, especially now with the super wild card weekend. There's more opportunity to make the playoffs. But I think a much bigger part of it is how is the team progressing under Matt as a coach, right? As far as Gutekunst goes, I mean, he was signed the same length of extension that Matt and Russ were. And clearly, such a monster part of this is how Jordan Love pans out. You know, that was his pick at the position. It's his guy. They've let him sit for 3 years, and now he is the ticket, so to speak. And I'm not sitting here saying that if Jordan isn't the answer, that means Goot's automatically going to be fired. But, you know, it's going to be a big component of it. And the interesting thing about all of that is such a large part of it will probably come down to how they're both doing and how the team is doing when Mark Murphy retires, which is going to happen in 2025, you know, and then who replaces Mark Murphy. I know the odds on favorite, if you're, you know, into that sort of thing, is probably Ed Policy. Does Ed or someone else come in there, and what do they think about the job Brian and Matt are doing? You know, so it would take a catastrophe of epic proportions for Mark to move on from both of those guys. Those are his guys, his hires. He signed them to 5-year extensions, clearly with the idea that that would be like his final stamp on the football side, right? So, you know, I think a big part of it is that transition at the president and CEO level, which is where both of those guys report to now, and whoever it is coming in, what they think of the job that's been done over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. And I know it's interesting, it's weird to talk about that in that way when it comes to the NFL, right? Because it's such a year-to-year thing for most franchises. It's if you don't make the playoffs at least, you know, 2 years in a row, then people are already ready to fire people and start over and blah, blah, blah. Green Bay just doesn't operate like that. And they take a much longer view. And I do think that's going to afford both Matt and Brian a bit of leeway, you know, especially considering the fact that they are transitioning from a Hall of Fame quarterback into a very unknown moment in the franchise. So all that is to say, you know, yeah, it's title town. The goal doesn't change as far as you got to win championships. And the idea here this year is to build that foundation for a window where they can hopefully make runs. But for Matt, I think it's a big part. You know, the biggest part is the team developing. They have certainly hit reset on the roster. The offensive skill players in particular, a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience that have to be brought along. Is Matt the guy for the job? You know, I think this year will begin to tell us a big, big part of that. Not just at quarterback, but throughout the offensive side of the ball. We shall see. What else we got here, folks? Charlie Hobart, thanks for the super sticker. Really appreciate it, man. Ben, thanks for checking in from Maryland. Joe, thank you for the super chat. What's up, man? Packers were fifth in the NFL in fourth down attempts, but were one of the worst at converting. Do they go for it too much, or do they just need to improve? No, they go for it. I mean, I love how much Matt LaFleur goes for it on fourth down. I do understand that they have to be much better when it comes to converting on that down, no matter the distance. But no, I don't think there's any reason to dial back the aggressiveness there. Love, I can't think of a single time last year where he went for it on fourth down where I was perplexed or thought it was a bad idea. You know, now you're always going to sit there when they're unsuccessful, right? And the ball goes over on downs. And Corey famously said on one of our watch parties last year, you know, I love going for it on fourth down if we get it, right? And as a fan, that's easy to say, etc. But I love the aggressiveness. I think it's the way it should be in the NFL. I think you want to extend drives. You want to give yourself more opportunities to score. all of that. But, yeah, they have to be better. They have to be better on fourth down this year. They were atrocious last season. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you they got to do more of this or more of that, because I'm sure, without doubt, they are looking at all of that data-wise, play-calling-wise, schematic-wise, all throughout the offseason. I'm sure that's one of their kind of drill-down projects for the offensive staff. But yeah, the conversion to me clearly is the issue, and that's something that you got to hope improves vastly in 2023, because I have no problems going for it. Zero. None. Mimsy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Leroy added to the Packers board. Joe Barry, beware. There you go. Hey, let's hope the board isn't involved in those decisions. But yeah, maybe Leroy chimes in from time to time. Who knows? Not going to miss Lazard getting it on fourth and short. Oh, Jonathan. Probably my least favorite play call of the entire season. And I know it's easy to pick apart play calling after you see the result. I totally get it. But man, if you had told me that the day before the game, hey, if we get into a short yardage situation, we're going to motion Lazard and give it to him on fourth and short. Yeah, I would have burned that with fire. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you on that one. Vex, what's up? The Alan Lazard hurt my faith in Matt LaFleur big time. Are you sure that was entirely Matt LaFleur? Who brought it up? Who thought that was a great idea? Who brought it to the table in the offensive meetings? Who said, hey, maybe instead of somebody fast, we should use somebody big and strong who can maybe power through in short yardage, etc.? There's lots of people in that conversation. Now, it is Matt's responsibility, and he does have to wear it. There is zero question about it. I mean, hell, he made the call in the game, right? So there's no doubt that it was an unfortunate call, and it certainly backfired on them. It's hard for me to say it made me lose any faith in Matt, though. I will say, fun story. Well, maybe not that fun for Matt, but I remember the first time we hung out at the Combine after his very first year as a head coach. I made a joke about his punting on fourth and short in the NFC Championship game on their opening drive in San Francisco. I don't think he's ever forgotten that, because I don't think he'll ever let me forget that I made that joke. I like the aggressiveness. That's all I'm saying. Can we sign Lucas Van Ness? Yeah, they'll sign him. Don't worry, Logan. All that stuff is slotted now. It's going to take until probably, hell, I'll probably end this chat and it'll get done. It'll be announced. No, but like, when was the last time the Packers had a holdout? That's all I'm going to ask you. It'll happen, dude. Don't even worry about it. It's all slotted and everyone's waiting for everybody else, and eventually someone will get up, make a phone call, and one guy will get signed, and then another guy will get signed, and then Lucas will get signed. I'm not even close to worrying about that. Come week 10, we will know a lot more about this team. Very true, David. I think by week 4, we'll know a lot more about this team. Hell, it'll be fascinating to watch the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows and the narratives that are spun. What's funny is, like, hey, you know, it's hard today because they lost, but I don't think this Packers team will be too dissimilar to the Brewers team that we're watching this summer with the idea that a lot of youth, right, and very obvious talent, a lot of upside. You can see what they could possibly grow into, but it's frustrating at times. You know, there are tough stretches with this Brewers season already, and I think the Packers season won't be dissimilar. But hey, on the upside, Brewers are in first place still, so I'll take that. Vex, when was the last big rookie holdout? That's good. I can't even think of it off the top. The big one that leaps to mind is Nick Barnett. How long ago was that? You know what I mean? It's just not something that happens much around Green Bay, and especially now with the rookie wage scale, it's almost, I mean, unless you're talking about with the Chargers and a quarterback, right? You know, it's just rarely, so rarely is an issue. What's up, Brandy? Nags, who do you see catching those third down conversions? I know, matchup specific. Well, yeah, it's matchup specific, and I think part of it will be, you know, you don't want to get too dependent on one guy and or too predictable, right? I think they'll mix it up quite a bit. I would love to see them utilize the running back a little bit more in that situation. Now, down a distance plays into it as well, but I think Reed could be a real kind of boon in that area as far as a stick mover if you will. You know, he's a home run waiting to happen. We all know he's got speed for days, but I also think you get him in space and he can, you know, turn a 2-yard gain into a 15-yard gain that helps move the chains and things like that. So he could help in that regard. But I think what's fun about this offense, the potential there, is that anyone could get it on third down. And you don't really have a guy that you can zero in on as a defensive coordinator, you know, the way you probably could have with Devontae when he was in town, and say, you know, there's no one I gotta or can take away, so to speak, or roll coverage to, because could go any way in any kind of shape or form, whether it's a deep pass, whether it's intermediate stuff, whether it's motion out of the backfield, you know, screen, the tunnel screen, the traditional screen. There's a lot of ways you could go. But you got a lot of talent. Do I think Love will use his legs a lot this year? I don't know about a lot. I think he'll utilize them in a way we're probably haven't been used to in Green Bay in a while, just because Aaron is an older quarterback and not, you know, as agile as he once was. I know he and Pete Doherty famously went back and forth on this a couple years ago. But, yeah, I think we'll definitely see him utilize them probably more so than we've been used to in recent years, simply because he is a young guy. And young quarterbacks, there's a couple of reads are covered, and your natural tendency is to take off. And I think that's fine. He's got the ability, you know. And who knows, there might even be more designed runs for the quarterback, not specifically like draws in the middle of the field, but stuff to get him out on the edge and things like that, keep him safe, but let him use his legs a little bit as another way of moving the ball. Yeah, I don't doubt for a moment we'll see him, you know, both utilize his ability to scramble and just kind of design things to help take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. With the big Rodgers cap hit this year, will we have lots of room next year to sign and keep good players? Kind of, Chip. There's still a lot of stuff that they're going to be maneuvering around next year, dead money-wise. The Rodgers thing definitely helps, and that was a big component for why they did what they did when they traded him to the Jets and, you know, wanted to take the kind of medicine now, right, when it comes to his contract. Because then next year, yes, they are completely out of it, which is great for the Packers. But like I said, there's still a lot they got to maneuver around. Now, the big question is, how much does the salary cap jump? You know, this is the year when the new media money should be hitting the cap going into 2024, next offseason. So hopefully that helps a little bit, but it's not like they're going to have like reams of cap room all of a sudden. They may have a little bit more, but not a ton. On Culture, what's up, man? Lots of young talent on this team, but if they can get their stuff together, this is going to be a fun team to watch. I agree. And it's funny because I've seen a lot of people kind of mentioning that idea, right? It's going to be fun. And I think it is going to be fun. I just don't want to be a wet blanket when I tell you that there's going to be, you know, times when it's not so fun. But I agree that this is a team that is young, probably going to be pretty loose and having fun together, which will, I would think, in turn, make it fun for us to watch, you know? I'm just excited for something new, man. That, for me, that's what this season's all about. That's what I'm kind of thriving in toward, what have you. Like, man, bunch of young guys playing together, having a good time, hopefully piling up some W's. Let's go, man. When is the deadline for folks starting on the PUP? Brandy, that'd be if they are placed on the PUP for the regular season, they have to miss the first 4 weeks. It used to be 6, now it is 4. But we'll see who's on the PUP to start camp. You know, obviously here in a couple weeks, about 6 weeks away. You know, if you are on the PUP for camp, you have to stay there until you're ready to go. And once you practice, then you can't be on the PUP for the regular season. So my suspicion is guys like Stokes and Gary will probably be on PUP throughout camp and then into the regular season. That's just guesswork on my part, but we'll see. Sideline, what's up, man? Do you think the high expectations for Jordan Love puts extra pressure on him? Nah. No, I mean, he's already playing in the NFL, and he's about to be a starter at the toughest position in sports with literally millions of people watching him every week. There's no expectation you can place on the young man that's going to make the pressure greater, right? You know, there's zero doubt there is pressure. That's clear and obvious, but, you know, expectations, people hoping for him, rooting for him, or rooting against him, none of that matters. As far as the pressure that the young man is undoubtedly feeling just as a player in the NFL and making, you know, the first year as a starter and an iconic franchise like the Green Bay Packers. You know, there's plenty there already when it comes to pressure that any expectations placed on him by the fan base and things of that nature. It's like that old Seinfeld joke, right? When you have multiple children. I used to laugh about this when my girls were little. You know, you have one kid, it's like it's one-on-one, it's fine. You have two kids, and it's like, okay, you and your spouse, you can play a man-on-man. Once you switch from man-to-man to zone, it's a little tougher. And then Seinfeld said, "You, it's like football in the sense that when you get tackled, you know, when you're on the ground, it doesn't matter how many people pile on top of you at that point. You're already down, you know? And that's the, quote, added pressure that Jordan could possibly be feeling because of fan expectation. You know, he's already got a ton of pressure on him. That little extra, you know, safety, jumping on the pile, that ain't going to matter. He ain't going to feel that. Carl, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, I'm excited for something new, too. I mean, I remember having a heart attack every game during Favre's early years. Oh, man, those were some times, man. But the younger crowd doesn't know, man. Because Aaron came in and was clearly ready and was a starter. And, yeah, you know, there were some tough games there. Like, only won six of them his first year as a starter. But he played well, right? I mean, those first couple years with Favre, holy cow. Those, you talk about frustrating. There were times when there's that great shot of Holmgren on the sideline where he's like, he's all over the place. Because he's like running around. He's like running 30 yards for a two-yard gain. You know, it's just Brett was crazy, and it drove you crazy. But you did see the talent. And to Mike's eternal credit, he stuck with him and got him molded. Mimsy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Can we get shareholders to add bang on the drum usage to the meeting agenda? Rotating it out is grounds for termination, akin to ketchup on brats. That's a really good. That's a really good point, Mimsy. Both the usage of banging the drum and not utilizing Go Pack Go in Lambeau during games. Both of those happened last year. What the hell is going on out there? I'm with you, man. Maybe we should bring that up at the shareholders meeting. It's a very good idea. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out and talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack Go.